Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like Moshikans and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC to hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got some rappers with that cold broke face. They torn around the world, then they going no place. My KRS one moves at its own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think
they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking me, I say impeccable. Running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before me, slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs. Cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me getting bullshit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Real revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame, and the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Aretha Franklin.
Listen.
1960 who, 1960 what, 1960 who, 19, hey, the Motor City is burning, that ain't right. 1960 what, 1960 who, 1960 what, 1960 who, 19, hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all, that ain't right. There was a man, boy, the people standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. Shots rang out. Yes, it was a gun. He was the only one to fall down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his people scream. Ain't no need for sunlight. Ain't no need for moonlight. Ain't no need for street light. 'Cause it's burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight. 'Cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all. With three pieces of black licorice in his hand, y'all. Mr. Policeman thought it was a gun, thought it was a one. Shot him down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his mama screamed, ain't no need for sunlight. Ain't no need for moonlight. Ain't no need for street light. Just burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight. 'Cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City's burning.
Now check it out. Now I know I normally come on at 8 o'clock, but I was shammed. I thought my daughter had a basketball game, so I pushed my show back. But she didn't have a game. So I had my guests postpone it to 9. And so I can either go to 10:30 if y'all want to hang out with me, or at 11 o'clock. It's on you. But before I bring my lady Moni Love in from the D, let me bring my girl Dana in from the D.C. What's going on, Dana? Boy, you said XOs, 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 and you come a running. I like that.
Hey, Jimmy. How are you?
All right, all right. I'm glad you called in early. Well, not early, but, you know, I did start late. I could do my 2 hours. But it all depends on how long my girl Moni want to go. I did tell her 8 to 10, but my girl Dorothy had a game, and I don't know how that go. But to set everything up on point, I just want our listeners to know what's really going on in the D. That's why I started off with Aretha Franklin. I should play that Aretha Franklin lift her voice and sing. I should play that first before I went to Ray Charles. Now I know why I stopped playing it, man. She just hams that up. Boy, did she ham that up, boy. Did she ham that up. But anyway, the Motor City's burning. Chicago's on fire. I got that state rep candidate calling in later on, but I'm going to bring Moni Love, if she don't mind me calling her Moni Love, but Monica from the D, Dana, and she's going to inform us about the situation in Detroit. I really want to piggyback on what we talked about yesterday. So let me bring in the lovely Miss Moni Love from the D. Hello, Monica. How you doing?
I'm good.
You
already
call me Moni Love to all my seven. Well,
I'm totally good with that.
I ain't got millions of listeners, but I'm about the 700,000 range yet. But I ain't got the million yet. But to my 700,000 homies that are listening, we got the great Moni Love from the D checking in, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you did. You did reach back out, so I can continue the conversation that we had earlier. And,
yeah, no problem.
Can
I give a shout out real quick? Yeah, shout out real quick, everyone in Chi-Town. Hey, Chi-Town, how are you doing today?
We'll take that shout out. So, you any info you want to drop? You want to give me history of who these characters are, which is the mayor, these two mayors.
Mm-hmm.
We did shows earlier on the governors and the emergency manager and the situation leading up to the emergency manager, but a lot of people don't know who are these candidates for mayor now. With you being non-biased, I don't want the people to know who you're backing. If you can be non-biased for a second,
okay.
Could you tell us a little bit about each of those candidates that are running, pros and cons?
Yep, no problem. We'll start with the first one first, or I shouldn't say first, but the one of the candidates. Mike Duggan basically he has held a lot of positions inside of the state of Michigan, but basically the one he's most famous for is being the the prosecutor for Wayne County. Wayne County is where the city of Detroit is located in. Pretty much it's the largest city within Wayne County. He was a prosecutor from 2001 to about 2003. During that time, some of your listeners may know, because it is a little old, but there was a case that was called the Malice Green case, okay, about a person, a resident of Detroit that was unfortunately, might as well say, beat to death by people, by some members of the Detroit police force at that time. Now, they tried to say that, he died from asphyxiation from drug poisoning. That turned out not to be true. And so at the time that this case was going on, Mike Duggan, again, was the prosecutor. He tried to, of course, defend the police officers, and unfortunately that didn't happen, and they ended up serving time. But either way, so that was his previous job. He spent many years, probably about five, as the former head of the DMC. And if people don't know what the DMC is, that's Detroit Medical Center. And it's not just one hospital. It's a series of hospitals, including Detroit Receiving, Children's Hospital, which is, famous across the world in Detroit, and some other, I think it's at least about four other hospitals. During that time, he and his campaign basically says that he saved the DMC, and how he managed to do that is that he sold it off to a company called Vanguard. The Detroit Medical Center used to be pretty much owned by regional hospitals, used to be pretty much owned by the city of Detroit. So Mike Duggan basically sold that to a company named Vanguard. He claims that he sold that to save it. He did get a nice little kickback of that sale. It was somewhere in area of stocks and associated bonuses around $10 million. And then from there, he was also for a time period the secretary of the EAA. The EAA is the Educational Achievement Authority, and that's been very controversial in the state of Michigan. The reason why is because this particular authority, it's managing 15 schools in the city of Detroit. This has never been done before. It's really more like selling public schools or loaning public schools to private industries. And so those 15 schools has been, again, a lot of controversy in regards to have this organization been properly managing the Detroit Public Schools. All the people that are on the EAA board, including Mike Duggan at that point when he was on the board, was appointed by the governor, and that was done through legislation that, again, was very controversial when it was passed, but we do have a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican governor, so it wasn't much that could be done to stop that. He left the EAA board, give or take somewhere around, I believe it was March, April of last year, and then from that point, he proceeded to move from Livonia into Detroit, and he wanted to run for mayor. Now, it was some controversy surrounding that, too, because basically the city charter stated that in order to run for mayor of Detroit, you had to be a resident for at least 1 year. That meant 365 days. And when I say run for mayor of Detroit, that meant to be a named ballot candidate. Anyone can run as a white voting candidate. Now, technically, you know, even though I don't live in the city of Detroit, if I wanted to run as a write-in candidate for mayor of Detroit, I could do so, okay? So that was litigated throughout Michigan's court system. It started in Wayne County Circuit Court. It went to the appeals court, and it was about to go to the Supreme Court. And then Mike Duggan announced that he was going to be ending his mayoral candidacy, and that, you know, at that point in time, he wasn't really running for mayor anymore. During the 10 days that followed, I guess basically Mike Duggan claimed that a lot of people came to him, and whether that be business leaders, people in the community, former DMC employees, current DMC employees, and basically begged him to run as a write-in candidate. So on day 10, Mike Duggan had made a press conference, and he had a press conference with a big, gigantic sample ballot that people wondered how did he get, and basically announced that he was running as a write-in and to write in his name. And so, yeah, from that point, he has had, you know, a lot of still controversy because of the fact that rumor mill, and now it's pretty much confirmed because he has confirmed it, rumor mill has said that he was one of the candidates that was considered for the emergency manager position that's now being held by Kevin Orr. The AXME Council 25, which is a Detroit City union, they wanted to obtain by FOIA certain emails that the governor uses correspondence with another person named Richard Bard, who was an employee of the governor through the nonprofit NERV Fund, Kevin Orr, and another unnamed authority, and also Gary Brown, who used to sit on the city council, but now he's the deputy emergency manager. But either way, they wanted to obtain those emails. They were able to get through them through FOIA, and it did prove a lot of things. But what it didn't prove is who was the person, one of the other people that was in the emails. And the reason why is because that person was not a state employee, and they weren't working for the state. So because of that, they had their identity protected, and at least until recently. And so from that point, Mr. Duggan has went on with his campaign. He's touting his business connections. He's touting, obviously, his ability to turn around the DMC, and that would help him be able to fix Detroit. He says that he's not he personally don't like the emergency manager, but in the same aspect, it didn't seem as if he was actively opposing one. So that's pretty much his whole campaign, okay? Recently, there was, again, the AXME Council 25. They kept pushing for the disclosure of everyone inside of those emails. And the judge ruled today that the anonymous person would need to be named. Now, the governor's office is appealing that to the Michigan Supreme Court, but then Mr. Duggins comes out and says that, and that was also today, Mr. Duggan came out and said that he has not been asked to be a emergency manager except for 2 years ago, and at that point in time, he turned it down. Now, the weird part about that is that some emails that have been revealed, and this was revealed by the Michigan Citizen, which is an African-American owned newspaper in the city of Detroit, and these particular sets of emails were able to be revealed because it was Richard Bard, who's the NERF Fund employee through the nonprofit, and Mike Duggan. And so because they were just talking, were able to get those revealed. It did say that Mike Duggan had met with Richard Barr, the only mayoral candidate that has done so, in order to discuss his feelings about the emergency manager being in Detroit. So that's pretty much Mike Duggan.
Mike Duggan, Monica, Miss Lovely Monica. That is pretty much Mike Duggan. Let me wrap it up. Now.
Yep.
So I want to make sure I heard you correctly at the last state of the little rant here on Mike Duggan. Was asked a couple of years ago to be the emergency manager, correct?
That is correct, right. He hasn't revealed that. That's what he says now, yes.
Okay, now I'm writing that down. I'm writing it down because I got a couple of questions I want to ask you. Hold on.
Yep.
Mike Duggan, the Caucasian, not now, I'm not being racist to everybody, but Mike Duggan, he is Caucasian. I'm not saying Detroit's all black, but, we got a Caucasian mayor, and the emergency manager is African-American. So I'm just putting it all across the board. Now, right, I don't play the race card here, but I do play spades. Mm-hmm. But what I'm coming at is this, Moni. Now, Mike Duggan was asked to be the emergency manager. Now, yesterday, I want to hear about the county, I think it was sheriff. I can't think of the guy's name, but
Benny Napoleon. That's the other gentleman. Yeah.
Benny Napoleon. Now, yesterday I asked you, being that, first of all, what is Mike Duggan, a Democrat or a Republican?
Mike Duggan claims to be a Democrat, so I'll go with that.
I'm just screaming out because mostly. Yeah. You only can be a Democrat to get elected in the D, regardless of the fact. In the little greater Detroit metro area, that's all Democratic country. Wayne County is Democratic county, correct?
It is. But the mayor or real race, just to make sure your listeners know, is actually considered a nonpartisan race, which is different from a lot of other areas in Michigan. But they basically, you don't have to declare if you're Democrat, Republican, Green Party, Independent, whatever you may be, you don't have to declare that in order to run for election.
That's like that here in Chicago on our municipal election. You don't have to declare Democrat or Republican running for city elections at all. But I'm quite sure for state Congress, you have to declare a party. But it's like that here also in the Shire. No, I'm saying that could Duggan be in cahoots with the emergency manager, keep the emergency manager on. But before you answer that question, let's tell everybody about your boy Napoleon second, since that you might be favoring him. But I'm not saying that because only you are a non-biased woman and you just play it.
I am non-biased. I have not came out publicly and supported either one of the candidates, just to make sure your listeners know.
And I'm not even asking. I'm not even putting you on the carpet. Just everybody about Napoleon. What's up with Napoleon?
Okay. So Benny Napoleon basically came up through a lot of different ranks. Obviously, he was previously a Detroit City police officer. And so he worked for the Detroit City Police for many years. And from that point, the biggest controversy that went on during the time that Benny Napoleon had came through as a Detroit City Police officer and he was at one point in time the chief of police under Kwame Kilpatrick's administration, was an incident where an inmate basically was alleged to have been shoved out of the jail in a chair. Okay, that was investigated and found out not to be that he was, you know, in the chair in when he fell. It was investigated and it appeared to be a suicide. But that was basically the biggest controversy, along with some drugs, I guess, that was missing from the evidence room, if that's what they call it. It was a lot of drugs that was missing from the evidence room. And so they had value. But either way, he did not, I guess, basically get tainted in either one of those scandals. The other thing is that the Wayne County Jail, kind of, I'll talk about that because he is the sheriff now and he is in Wayne County. I'll talk about that and how that they're trying to tie that in with him, make a long story short with that. So from that point, he ran for election. He stepped down from his position as the chief of police right around the time where Kwame Kilpatrick was going through his troubles. And so he stepped down for that position. A lot of people thought he did that to run for Wayne County Sheriff, and he didn't run for Wayne County Sheriff. He won that particular election, and the thing that is going on with Mr. Napoleon right now, which is it's an underlying controversy, but really he explained it well in recent, I guess you could say, newsreels, is that the Wayne County Jail, it was supposed to be built, okay? It was supposed to be done now, and it has ran over millions of dollars. Now, as a Wayne County sheriff, you would think that Benny Napoleon was the person that would be responsible for the building of the Wayne County Jail. It actually goes through the Wayne County Commissioner's Board, okay? The sheriff is basically, he just makes sure that the crime is obviously down in the county. He is a, you know, obviously an overseer of the jail, but he does not actually lobby or anything, I guess you could say, in political in nature, and also procure any financing for building the jail. Now, some have tried to say that the overrun should be on Mr. Napoleon, but considering that he doesn't have the authority about building things on related to the jail, that's up for, you know, obviously people that are listening determination. Mr. Napoleon is and was and has been a City of Detroit resident from birth until now. Okay, he was born in the City of Detroit. He is, you know, he didn't move from Livonia and then try and run for mayor. And this is, I guess you could say, besides the sheriff's position, this is his first campaign, like, for a true political office because, you know, the sheriff's position is a nonpartisan position all the time, not just nonpartisan when you're running, and then you know, show if you're Democrat and Republican afterwards. He is a lawyer. He you know, obviously he has his bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and then he went and got a JD. Right now, some controversy had went on in regards to, was he really running to be mayor, or was he running as a mentoring candidate? Well, that was, a lot of people thought that, I'll be honest. And it turns out that what Mr. Napoleon is suffering from is that he still has to do his job as mayor. Now, remember, going back to Mike Duggan, was head of the DMC. He was also previously the secretary on the EAA board. Mike Duggan resigned from both of those positions. Benny Napoleon is still sheriff, and that means that he can't be taking care of his campaign duties on basically public time. So that limits his amount and ability to get a lot of things out in the media, might as well say, and also, you know, campaign when he's supposed to be sheriff. So because of that, he has not been able to do as much as you would expect someone that's really running a real robust mayoral campaign. But he has basically in the last couple, I would probably say the last probably about the last month and a half, stepped up some things in regards to what it is that he plans to do for the city of Detroit. He came out with a neighborhood revitalization plan. He has met with members of the business community. He has vehemently opposed the emergency manager and has said so throughout his campaign. He believes that that the way to solve Detroit's problems, I don't want to speak for him, but the way to solve the issues in the city of Detroit is by revitalizing the neighborhoods that will bring more people in, more tax revenue, and meanwhile, between time, that tax revenue can be used in order to get Detroit out of its financial issues. So that's a lot about Mr. Napoleon, and he did well. There was a debate, and this is where, you know, I think people finally started thinking he was not a Manchurian candidate. There was a debate that was held a week ago where he came out very strong in regards to, you know, attacking Mike Duggan for some of the things that was mentioned earlier in your show. Basically coming out in questions of some of the things the emergency manager said, including about, might as well say, Detroiters and Michiganiers in extension, being dumb, lazy, happy, and rich. And that's what Kevin Orr has said in an interview in New York about now 2 months ago. And he was very strong in his defense of not only Detroiters, but also by extension people in the state of Michigan. So he has not been tied in to having any discussions anytime, anywhere with Kevin, with them about the emergency manager before the emergency manager came. He may, you know, I don't know if he has met with the emergency manager while posted his mural campaign, but he doesn't have any of the tape that Mike Duggan has, which, you know, saying that, number one, he was offered an emergency manager job 2 years ago and shut it and turned it down, or number two, meeting with Richard Barr to talk about the pending emergency manager at that point in time, which was Kevin Orr. That he doesn't have any of that taint on him. So that's pretty much being Napoleon.
Oh, with that being my man Napoleon, now, where are we at with that election in Detroit? Because I know we are in with controversy. So who claims, without the taint, who is the victor in this election? Without the taint of or number counting, who is the victor?
That is a hard question. Well, if you look at money-wise, okay, and you know, a lot of times elections are like marketing campaigns, so because of that, who has the most money has an opportunity to be heard more. If we're going on money, then you would have to say Mike Duggan, because Mike Duggan, basically his last campaign finance report, which was revealed, I think it was in May, said that he had raised over $1.5 million. For his mayoral campaign, which was the highest ever in a Detroit mayoral campaign in history. Now, he also, because of the money that he has raised, at least the last quarter, and who knows what he has raised this quarter, we won't find out until after the election, is that he also has the opportunity to do more airwaves. The media, in my opinion, has been extremely favorable to Mike Duggan. And rumor mills has said, because he's been able to buy a lot of things like commercial time, and rumor mills has said that he has paid for some of that commercial time in order to shut other folks that were critical of him up and get them suspended off the airwaves. Now, that can't, you know, that's rumor mill. It hasn't been confirmed. So we're talking money and marketing, then probably Mike Duggan will win. And the worst part about this, you know, in a way, is that a lot of people depend still on traditional news outlets. They depend on reading the newspaper, whether that be online or they pick it up 3 days a week from their local grocery store, or they're listening to basically the, you know, broadcast ways, the traditional media, whether that be 247. Or they're listening to traditional radio. And Mike Duggan is very effectively making sure he lines all his campaign commercials up on all three of those mediums. So, yeah. Now, if we're talking who's actually probably going to do the best for Detroiters, then I would be Benny Napoleon all day long. Because as a Detroiter and as someone who has lived in that city all his life, I would say that he would look out for the needs of the people of the city of Detroit way before someone that just basically moved in last year. So the only problem is that, you know, he doesn't have the same amount of money. I think, yeah, they said he raised like $250,000, which is like normal for a mayoral campaign. And there's some large business interests in Detroit, particularly Dan Gilbert and the Penske's and the Camados, who want to make sure that he does not be mayor. So it depends. If the people come out, it may be Benny Napoleon. If the people stay home, it's probably going to be Mike Duggan.
So now, who was involved in this ballot stuffing? Which candidate is accused of stuffing ballots? And who has the lawsuit in?
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to make sure I make this very clear to your listeners. Neither candidate right now is accused of basically stuffing the ballots themselves. Okay, so I want to make sure that's clear. Now, as for the alleged ballot stuffing, because there's still a case that's going on to try and determine if that took place or not, so we have to say alleged until such determination is made in that case, the persons, there are eight petitioners, right, that basically claim that votes were given and also given rather fraudulently to the write-in candidate, and the write-in candidate, and the only person that was a write-in, at least that actually is still on the ballot anyway, was Mike Duggan. Okay, so I hope that answers your question. And there's eight petitioners in that particular, somebody just say pending case. One of whom is Tom Barrow, who also was a mayoral candidate, and he was previously the first African-American state CPA head of the State Board of Accountancy. So I hope that answers your question.
Okay. That does answer my question before I bring people in and ask the question. Now, do you feel that what do you – not money-wise and message-wise, you know, because, you know, sometimes money does muddy up campaigns. And we all know this, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going on Republicans. We all know how money muddies up campaigns. Now,
what
is making Mike Duggan's message get across to black voters, the city of Detroit?
Okay, I think I can answer that question by going backwards. Beyond Mayor Bing, because Mayor Bing is the mayor right now, but he's not running again. So you have to go backwards to Kwame Kilpatrick, okay? And the media, and I'm not saying Kwame.
I don't want to go
you
there
do
because,
have to go.
So we go on to the race card.
No, I'm not. Actually, I'm not. I'm actually not going to go on the white race card, I promise. Trust me on this one. But you have to understand why it is a lot of people want Mike Duggan now. Because the media basically,
I didn't want, because I'm here out, because I'm so glad you called my show. I'm here out because I was frightened. Now, I was frightened that people were choosing Duggan because it might have been embarrassed of Kwame. But I ain't going there yet, but I might go there for the end of the show. But let me go back to the, the question that I asked
like
you.
This. I can say this much. A lot of people were disappointed in Kwame Kilpatrick. A lot of people have been disappointed in different mayors. And basically now they feel as if Mike Duggan can come and turn some things around.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what is we know now? What is his platform and his message?
Well, his message is basically that you need to improve the, like it hasn't been improved already, but it still is, but you need to improve downtown and bring in some more people that may not traditionally stay in the city of Detroit. You want to get them involved inside of the turnaround, okay? And that is his, and the reason why I say turnaround is because that's his campaign theme. It's turnaround. So you want to get them involved inside a turnaround. You want to actively, obviously, take care of neighborhoods and bring the police force back up to its standards and work with the emergency manager in order to have the emergency manager not be there as long as he needs to be. So he's willing to work with Kevin Orr.
Okay, now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying Detroit is heavily African-American or black American.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go there. Now, I'm not going to say because people were disappointed in Kwame because, you know, I've been arguing people about Kilpatrick from day one and left and right and right and left.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what the people are feeling about Kwame Kilpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to know is this. Is Ike Duggan giving a message to the black constituents in Detroit that are resonating with them that is not I'm not going to say biracial or and black. I mean,
okay,
what is this message that are making blacks say, this Duggan guy might be the person over Napoleon?
Well, the claim is his turnaround of the DMC by selling it off to a privatized company called Vanguard. He claims that he saved the DMC and also saved it from $7 million worth of debt. And if he can do that for an organization as big and large as the DMC, that he can turn around Detroit. And some people are believing it. And then the other thing is that he's not the previous mayors in no way, shape, or form.
Okay, now, on Napoleon's side, what is this message? And what is Napoleon Harris' message? Now, I'm not going to the black community, but what is Napoleon Harris?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying Napoleon Harris because there's a Napoleon Harris for Chicago, and that's the state
okay.
Senator. What is Napoleon's?
Okay,
I'm sorry. What is Napoleon's message for not the black community, because he's black, but to the city of Detroit, that makes him a candidate that people are looking for?
People are looking for Benny Napoleon for a couple reasons. Number one, he's the underdog at this point. Number two, and you can't go here without being honest, he's a hometown guy, okay? He has lived, breathed, and might as well say heartbeats for the city of Detroit and the plight of the city of Detroit. That's not basically saying I'm giving his marketing message. I'm just saying this is why a lot of people are thinking about voting for him. Also, they do believe, based on his crime record, controversial times in there, whatever, but still he was a city of Detroit police officer. He was basically, he came through the ranks. He was able to be the city of Detroit police chief. And people are looking at that time period as basically crime was starting to be reduced in the city of Detroit. And crime is still a problem in the city of Detroit, and especially within more of the neighborhoods. And they think that if they bring Mr. Napoleon in with his background and experience in that subject, that will be one of the caveats that will help revitalize Detroit. If you bring down the crime, more people, more businesses are willing to come inside the community, and people are willing to visit and invest their dollars here. So that's really, you know, more so where Benny Napoleon is falling. And then for the small business community, and I would say that's for the mom-and-pop barbershops and, you know, maybe the grocery store or something of that nature, they look at Mr. Napoleon as he's going to remember us, that the needs of business is not just for, you know, no offense to Dan Gilbert's, who owns Click and Loan, the Roger Penske's, you know, the Peter Camados, you know, talking about the ones that are millionaires or in some cases billionaires. He's actually going to look after the needs of the guy that owns the corner gas station, you know, and try and make sure that he can continue to operate his business fairly in Detroit. And he's also going to stand up for those city employees that, you know, honestly have been really kind of demoralized for at least probably like the past 5 years, and try and get some of the things that's needed in the city departments, which is computers that talk to each other, you know. Seriously, that's a problem in Detroit. And streamline the departments in order to make them more work efficiently for the residents. So people that support Benny Napoleon believe he can do that. Oh, I've lost you. Hello?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I muted. You have downtown Detroit. You have the small business people in Detroit who are talking to the neighborhoods and the homeowners. Which candidate? Now, I know, you know, I hear you hollering at my man Napoleon, but is any candidate talking about, I know that the property value is going down in the motor. Is anybody talking about, employment is so hard to come by because, I mean, NAFTA and everything is going on. But what candidate is really talking about job development on that level? Because from my understanding, from how I see it, if this ballot stuffing initiative or case goes to trial and goes to Michigan Supreme Court, what have you, or Circuit Court, then Governor Schneider, am I correct? Schneider is his name?
It is Schneider, yeah.
Governor Schneider, he can keep the emergency manager in place in Detroit. Now, in your opinion, does the emergency manager solve Governor Schneider's problems? I mean, by having an emergency manager in Detroit, does that help the state of Michigan?
I would say no. It helps Governor Schneider.
Okay, so now, with that being said, now, no matter what the outcome of this election, there's still going to be controversy because of the ballot stuffing or the tally counting, correct?
It will still be controversy, but if the election, see, this is the issue with Michiganders. If Mike Duggan or Benny Napoleon, but really more so Mike Duggan, if Mike Duggan wins this election, it's going to be looked at as he, even if the controversy still exists with the primary, it's going to be looked at as he's a legitimate candidate. Okay, so he's a legitimate candidate. He was a legitimate candidate. Now he's our legitimate mayor. And so because of that, it's going to be very hard to remove him from office. I'm not saying it's impossible because you still got an issue there with a primary, which allows him to be on the general election ballot in the first place. But it's going to be very hard to remove him from office. Could it be done? Sure. Could they recall him? Definitely. Would that be able to be done? Possibly, but you really have to tie Mr. Duggan into the emergency manager situation very strongly along with the ballot stuffing. If that can be done, then it might be a chance that he could be recalled. Otherwise than that, it's really – I wish I knew state law anymore, but I know it's rather hard to remove a candidate that has been elected – right, in a election, even if the last election wasn't legitimate. So in a primary, even though his question's over the primary, he made it to the general election. He got elected for real, right? At least we would think so. And so because of that, it's going to be rather hard to remove him. any time before 4 years, besides a recall.
Okay, I got a guy. He's from Elk Grove, Illinois, but his name is John. I'm sorry, I'm trying to pronounce your name, John. DemeuLenaere. Lived in Detroit. He went to the University of Michigan, but now he resides in Elk Grove. Now, he said he would like to know this, that if a candidate get elected and is convicted of stuffing the ballots, would there be an election, or would the emergency managers take back control until, I mean, well, would the election go to the other person, or would it go to the person that, I mean, see, because I can't see it. I'm not saying Durkin stood the ballot. I'm not saying Napoleon had his clerks go through some silly tallying count. The point I'm saying is, with the allegations out there, it will cause dissatisfaction, and you will have Detroit split between he stole the election. And
that is true.
When you have an elected official accused of stealing an election, that's not good for morale. It's not good for the city council. It's not good for police force. Not good for the fire department, because they feel that, I mean, coming out the emergency manager crisis by having someone over Detroit that was not their mayor, and then have something like this, is something that would, like, in my opinion, destroy the morale of Detroit, the council, and, I hate, you know, me being a grand old party GOP, you know, old Mr. Apple Pie American, it would destroy democracy. It would destroy democracy.
I would agree. I see your points, and I respect each and every one of them. The only problem is you have to be able, and this is the issue, you have to be able to prove, right, that Mr. whoever it may be, okay, or because we're talking about males here, Mr. whoever it may be paid, conspired, was actively involved in, okay, the ballot stuffing allegations. Now, if the person that goes down for this is not the, you know, I guess you could say one of the candidates and or a candidate, it would be the clerk, for instance, because it was her authority, right, that this ballot stuffing shouldn't happen. Then the clerk would have to turn state evidence on who assisted her, monetarily otherwise, in the alleged ballot stuffing, or else the person that could have done that can say hands off and it was just the clerk's issue, or it was just that employee's issue, or it was just a group of employees' issues. So unless you monetarily or otherwise tie them into that any type of ballot stuffing issue, and again, we don't know if this took place, but unless you tie them in there, then they're going to basically claim, not me, it was just them.
Okay.
I didn't tell them to do anything.
I'm going to take a break. I got Dana, I got Sean, I got Tanalisa on the line.
Yep.
I'll be right back in 3 minutes, 347-838. 347-838-9825. Moni Love, Dana, Dana.
1960 who, 1960 what, 1960 who, 19, hey, the Motor City is burning, that ain't right. 1960 what, 1960 who, 1960 what, 1960 who, 19, hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all, that ain't right. A man, voice of a people, standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. Shots rang out. Yes, it was a gun. He was the only one to fall down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his people scream, ain't no need for sunlight, ain't no need for moonlight, ain't no need for streetlight, 'cause it's burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight, 'cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who, 1960 what, 1960 who, 19, hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all. Ooh, the Motor City is burning, y'all. Great God Almighty, the Motor City is burning. Coming out of a liquor store with three pieces of black licorice in his hand, y'all. Mr. Policeman thought it was a gun, thought it was the one, shot him down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his mama screamed, ain't no need for sunlight, ain't no need for moonlight, ain't no need for streetlight, just burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight, 'cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City's burning. Great God Almighty, great God Almighty is burning. Can't put out the fire 'cause it's burning.
Reporter, the Motor City's burning. And bring Moni Love and Dana in the house. Still there, Dana?
I'm here.
Yeah, what do you think about the situation in Detroit so far?
Well, I think it's very interesting. My question to her is that too often we see that people make so many promises while they're campaigning, but then don't come through with those promises. And in fact, they renege. Which ones do you think, are there any candidates that you feel are more honest and are more likely to really have a positive impact on Detroit?
Wow, that's a good question. Looking at Detroit's current situation, between, might as well say, the infighting that's going on between the emergency manager consent agreement, what's happening to Bel Air, what's happening with the city employees possibly with, you know, losing their pension and health benefits, et cetera. In my strong opinion, it's going to take someone who is a native son or daughter of the city of Detroit to alleviate any pain that is associated or could be associated with all those actions before it takes someone that's not affiliated strongly within that community. Now, when I say alleviate pain, that does not necessarily mean if the judge comes back and basically says that he agrees with Detroit being bankrupt, that that person is going to be able to navigate that pain. You know, it's more as if it's like a shoulder to cry on, if anything, because if Judge Stephen Rhodes basically say he agrees with the actions that should be taken forth in Detroit's bankruptcy, including all those things that I just mentioned, then the pain's going to be huge. You know, I would probably say that Mike Duggan would not be very good, not be a very well received pain healer. I think he would probably just, you know, try and heal the pain by bringing in more large businesses. And when I say that, sometimes that can be a good thing. But bringing in more large businesses and people that are not traditionally of the city of Detroit to come in and fill the gap between all of the residents that are losing their livelihoods. And I don't think that would be very well received. So looking at that, I would probably say, you know, I don't think neither one of the candidates can fulfill all of their campaign promises at Detroit's current state. Can someone basically be better for advocating for the residents? Yes. If the judge come back and basically says, okay, maybe I'll cut this, but I'm not cutting that, you know, would that work out better for a candidate? Sure. Can they work with a new governor in order to try and finally get the economic stimulus inside of Detroit that's needed? Yes. If that governor stays Rick Snyder, no. And so it doesn't, I guess in that part, it really doesn't matter if, you know, the candidate that cares more about the residents gets elected. We still have Rick Snyder for the next 2 years. And he has shown that he really does not care about the city of Detroit. So, and if the other candidate gets elected that, you know, is more business-oriented, well, yeah, that would be great for business, but it's not going to be great for the residents. So I don't know that either candidate, just being non-biased, can deliver on everything that they're claiming they can.
Okay, check this out, Moni Love. Now, this is me not speaking from Detroit or the area. Are you in the Wayne County area? Are you part of Wayne? I understand not from Detroit, but are you in the Wayne County area?
I'm in the next county over. I'm in Washtenaw County. I'm less than 25 miles from Detroit, but I grew up for 4.5 years in the city of Detroit, so I'm pretty familiar with it.
I'm not even rolling on that, because my next question I was asking that, ask you this, to see if you can see that. Do you think, as a four-year Detroit residential area, that people are looking at Duggan because they feel that because of all this years of quote-unquote corrupt black leadership from the mayor's department, that the African-American community and the business and everybody is looking at this guy Duggan, who has ties to the Mercy Management, to everything that the residents of Detroit seems to be against. I find it odd, somebody who's tied to everything that the residents are against is hanging in by the polls, that is, because election has not happened, is hanging in, and by the money that he's generating, is hanging in, and what could be, in your opinion, if it's not that they feel that a black man can be qualified. I don't want to throw race to it because, you know, ain't no secret, I'm GOP, and all Detroit is Democrat. You know, even the state legislators, the state reps, the state senators, the county clerks, the county commissioners, the CDC, all that.
Yeah.
All that is Democrat. So before I jump on my man Schneider, I'm just saying, as far as I'm not caring about Detroit, it all depends on what the state legislators, the state senators, it's what depends on what they bring home to that area.
Yep.
I'm just saying, you know, we can scream what Snyder ain't doing, but everybody in Detroit elect the same old group of people every rip, and this is what has come about it. I'm not going to trip on Coleman Young. That's my homie. I dug Coleman Young. I ain't tripping. Matter of fact, you know, let me get full disclosure. I know the Youngs, and my auntie's babysitter Kilpatrick's. You know what I'm saying? So I'm tight with both of these people. Real, you know, me in Chicago, I'm tight with both of these families. And I should get a lot of argument for standing up for Kwame because you ain't from Chicago. You don't know. I know Kwame. I know his mama. Mm-hmm. I know his people. So I feel he got a bad rap over some texting my girlfriend, what have you. I feel he got a bad rap. I'm not even going on that. With the hate that people probably have for Kwame because they saw him young and black and achieved, you know, because, you know, not knowing ratio, I know how you get down. You know, some people look at some black man as being threatening, and that's what has come about. Now, I'm hoping that the image that Kwame had or has, is not helping Jack Durkin and his campaign raising or his popularity. I don't know. Is it that people feel that a black man can't be mayor no more in Detroit because they're all corrupt and they don't know what they're doing, so we need to change it up, even though we'll close our eyes to the fact that this guy is clicked in with the emergency manager? You know, just help me out here, Moni, please.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, both. I mean, now here's the situation. You got... Okay. And I think Mayor Kwame Young was a great mayor, too. I think Kwame Kilpatrick started out as a great mayor. I really do. Yeah, I honestly really do. And I think what has happened is that you have, because of the fact that Kwame Kilpatrick's issues was played so strongly in the media, okay, to the point that pretty much they made him the poster child on not only corruption in Detroit, but all across the state of Michigan. That's how bad the media has played this on Mr. Kilpatrick. That a lot of residents in the city of Detroit, and I say a lot, I'm saying, you know, a lot is, you know, probably like about 40%, you know, think that it's time to have a new face. And when I say new face, that means a face that does not look like them in the mirror. And I have heard that, this is quotes that I have heard from Detroit residents. I'm tired of all these black leaders. What, let the white guy do it. Maybe he can actually fix us, fix what's going on with this city. I have heard those quotes come out of residents' mouth. And you know what always kills me with that is, like, you never have corruptions around people that are Caucasian, which is amazing. You know, it doesn't matter necessarily what color the person is. It's about what's in their heart. And if their heart is not good, it wouldn't make a difference if they're purple. You know,
well,
we should be voting.
Let's look like this, Moni, not to be cutting you off, because I'm going to bring you back on because I like your flow. Let's look like this, Moni. I'm going to bring you in a minute, Dana. Let's look at it like this, Moni. Why aren't the people of Detroit looking at it as not a black or white thing, but because it's one-party rule? There are no Republicans in the Detroit City Council. There are no Republicans in the Detroit City Council, correct? Nah. There are no Republicans. There are Republicans in the Detroit City Council.
No. You said correct, and I was like, like that is true. There's no Republicans on the Detroit City Council.
nor representing the state legislator or the Congress.
Nope.
I mean, what I'm saying is this. If they said they're tired of all that corruption,
mm-hmm.
Now, it's not that if you change the face of the person,
mm-hmm.
if you change the face of the person from Napoleon to Durgin, and we already see they're willing to look away from Durgin's quote-unquote past because they want to get away from the corruption. Now,
mm-hmm.
I ain't throwing your party affiliation, you know what I'm saying, like that out there, but let's look at that. Now, they're going to exchange somebody that they elect the county, that they have elected as their sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody that they have not elected or have no history of public service. Am I correct?
Well, they did elect him in 2001, okay, as the Wayne County prosecutor. So that was a long time ago, but in the same aspect, 2001, 2003. Well, yeah, or was he elected? Yeah. Let me change that, because he may have filled the term during that time, because prosecutors usually are in office 4 years. So he may have filled the term. I have to check that, because he could have been appointed to fill a term, especially a two-year term as Wayne County prosecutor. That's rare. So I like he filled something, but go ahead.
So the point I'm trying to say is that you have a person that was elected throughout the county,
mm-hmm.
which is more votes than the city, which means
mm-hmm.
more people feel that he is qualified. And then you
mm-hmm.
have residents saying that they're tired of all the corruption, but yet no one
mm-hmm.
is pointing to the party that is providing corruption in that city, because it ain't black or white. Because you have some white state reps, white congressmen, you have some white state senators, you have some white county commissioners. I'm quite sure numerous of them have been corrupt or caught in some type of form of corruption. And so the point I'm saying, it's not a race thing. It's a party thing. If you
I would
have,
agree with you there. Now you
so,
can definitely go there because, yeah, go ahead, though.
No, go on. I mean, see, so it's easy to, I'm not trying to point it at that it's, because everybody's pointed to Snyder. And
mm-hmm.
my answer, well, yes, Snyder's Republican. I met him, full disclosure, you know what I'm saying? I met him. I don't know him
mm-hmm.
too well, you know. But, you know, full disclosure, I am black, and me and my man, I'm going again. I know the Kilpatrick, they're my homies. I go here. I even know the chick he's messing around with. You know what I'm saying? I know
mm-hmm.
I know that chick. I even know her. But
okay.
I'm not even going to go there.
Right.
You know, I'm not judging the person, but I'm saying that if Detroit... They're saying that they're going to choose now. I'm not playing racial politics because, again, Mona, you white or black?
I'm African-American, definitely.
All right. I'm glad to say this. You had a little twang. Now I get more swagger because I was trying to be real polite because I thought you might have been Caucasian. Now, real. Now, let me keep it 100 now. Let me keep 100 now. Now, if Detroit is going to allow a white man to take control of the city because they are upset at what Kwame Kilpatrick did, then it is over. Because if they're saying that we know that this guy is down with the emergency manager and trying to sell off the assets, and we'd rather have a white guy sell off the assets because we're tired of this black guy, because we're tired of corruption, but not one black
mm-hmm.
guy or not one black resident will look at it's the party and not the person.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I would probably go as far to say it's the parties. if we're going to go there, because we still have corruption going on via vis-a-vis Rick Snyder, in my opinion, because there's millions of dollars. Might as well say billions, close, but millions of dollars in no bid contracts that Kevin Orr has handed out to his former law firm, Jones Day, you know, some of the folks that, you know, would be affiliated with Rick Snyder, Kevin Orr, Richard Burke. I mean, you're talking millions of dollars. I mean, you had $18 million that went out to Jones Day in itself. The Detroit taxpayers have to pay that back somehow when they're broke. So, you know, maybe they need to look beyond party, and they need to look at person, whether that be Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green. I don't know. But I think they need to get, you know, I'll just say this from just a personal aspect. You need to throw out DNR and look at person.
Right. No. The reason I'm saying that because a Republican probably could not get elected in the Motor City whatsoever.
Yep.
But yet you screen corruption, but yet you put the next corrupt person in there, then you get upset with corruption. No. Now, the point I was coming at was this, Monique Love, was that it's not about the person. When I say it's not about the person, yes, there are Republicans, people that in motor might get caught up in corruption, but is the emergency manager, let me erase all that, is the emergency manager a Democrat or Republican?
He claims to be a Democrat. That's what he said. He said when he was asked, when he said,
why
is
he a Democrat? Because he's,
Democrat?
Is he black?
Yes, he is.
Right. Now, if you walked in any county in, I ain't gonna say any county. If you walk in Wayne County, you saw somebody black, would they be Republican?
Ooh, wow, not many.
No. No.
Less than 2%,
no.
I can tell you that much.
No.
Yeah.
See, and so Snyder is the boogeyman in this. Now, let me tell what Snyder do. Snyder will get a black Democrat, make an emergency manager. Now, it's a Democratic problem there in that county. And all the Democrat state reps, all the Democratic state legislators, they went down there. Now, I had Coleman Young Jr. on my show, State Senator Coleman Young Jr. I had him on my show. I was begging with him. You know, to save everything. But, like he said, what can I do? So it's funny. Now, I'm not shitting on Coleman Young Jr. Like I said, I'm down with the Youngs. They're my peoples. But I look at, you know, he tripped on me being a Republican, too. But I'm like, well, listen. Let's look at what we're getting. Let's look at what we're getting. Now, in every major black city, you know, it's really Democratic run.
And
look at what we're getting. And in their eyes, who's the enemy? The Republican in D.C. Well, let's look at who's destroying you right in your face. It's your state legislator that are Democrat. It's your mayor that are Democrat. You know, it's your county commission that Democrat. That's your hand. That's right there. That's the hand-on-hand combat. But if it's Republican, it would be easy to blame it on them. It's easy to point the finger at the people that John Boehner does not affect Detroit. Not whatsoever.
Not directly, no.
Right.
Not directly. He affects his community in Ohio.
Right. Ted Cruz has nothing to do with Detroit. Nothing
he
at
connect,
all.
He's connected. He could affect the people in Texas.
Right, but Coleman Young Jr. does.
He does. He's a state senator out of the city of Detroit. And, you know, let me make sure, and I'm not defending these folks because
I'm not
in a lot of areas. Right,
I'm not
but they don't have the vote. At this point, they don't have the votes, and that is true. They didn't have the votes in the state house. They didn't have the votes in the state senate, and they definitely didn't have the governor's position. So if they even wanted to block the emergency manager legislation, whether that be PA-4 or PA-436, it wasn't really a lot that they could do. I mean, you know, unfortunately, they couldn't pull the move, which I thought that was just excellent when they did it. Those 14 Wisconsin senators that ran to Illinois, yeah, they
right.
couldn't pull that move in order to stop the legislation because we don't have that rule here inside of Michigan. I forgot it's a certain rule they have in Wisconsin we don't have here. So they couldn't go to Illinois and hide out, you know, and then come back. So because
well,
of
see,
that,
sometimes,
it's not.
Let's play the game of political science one time. Let's play the game of political science. I'm going to bring you in, Ms. Nelson. Let's play the game of political science one time. Now, I'm running for Congress right now. Now, in the shy, it's all Democrats uphill climb. Like, you know, I'm like probably a leper in the business, right? But my argument to my constituents is this. If the Republicans are in the majority, and it seems like they're gerrymandered in the majority, then why send somebody to the minority when you're not going to get nothing accomplished? You see, when you deal in power, you got to have power on both sides. Black folks are the only people that just don't play the power game. SAs, Arabs, Asians, everybody. You cater to blacks. Now, let's just say if you probably had some black state reps or senators from Detroit that was against that. They could have stopped
right.
it. They could have stopped it because Snyder
realized.
They could
have kept talking. You know, they could have kept talking, but the only problem with that is because majority rules in our state Senate, and if you're not the speaker, you don't bring up, you can't determine the legislation that actually comes to the floor.
Well,
when
let me make sure
I have that correct. Yeah, you can talk about legislation, but you don't basically have the votes in order to move the legislation. You have to, you know, move it past first reading, second reading, you know,
that,
and then
right,
actually
correct.
Move it to, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you agree that you need a voice in the majority in order to get a say?
You do.
Don't you? So
oh,
why,
yeah, you definitely need
so,
that.
But I'm saying the game is what we're playing is we keep sending people to the voiceless. Instead of those people who can have a say-so, because we're just standing around saying, because they're Republican, I can't go that way. But if it's set up that they're going to control the state Senate and the state House, then why not send somebody with your best interest to the majority to get a say-so?
That is correct. I can't argue with you there. I definitely can understand that strategy, for sure.
And that is the only way that you can save certain situations, because people look at the parties by MSNBC, Fox, CNN. They don't look at politics from what they when they go outside and go to the gas station or to the little party store or to the mall. That's politics right there. Or when they get a ticket. That's what's running your life. Or when you get an emergency manager, that's not Boehner. You know what I'm saying? That's not Mitch McConnell.
It's not.
That's because there's not enough votes in the majority to say, hey, stop this. But people fail to realize that if they had some black Republicans in the state Senate, in the state House, maybe they could have stopped it. Because they realize we've got a chance in the black community. See, there's certain things that people don't play their card in. You know, you vote 93%. I used to be that route. We all roll the Democrats, whatever. Now, let me give you an example. Immigration, Moni. Here we are. Here the Democrats are fighting for immigration. Blacks going to roll with it. Not knowing that once you go past the immigration bill, all you're just saying is, okay, Africans, SAs, Czechoslovakians, Europeans, you can get all the benefits. I'm going to get to the back of the line because I want you to be
I agree with that.
So now, instead of keeping you out so I can get jobs, so instead of keeping you out so I can get employment, I'm going to bring you in because the party I'm with say we got to do this. So I'm rolling with this party. I'm not trying to convert. I'm just saying when you look at the odds on game, when it's a fight for survival, when it's a fight for survival, and you got to fight for survival, it does not make sense to send somebody to a place that where he cannot speak for you or get nothing done. You know, the Democrats are going to be a minority in the Congress for a minute. I see the Democrats in Michigan are going to be in the minority in there for a minute. But yet no one wants to take no one wants to take the
stand.
Yeah,
it probably will be that way. It will, because we don't have the party. Well, I don't want to go there too much, but the pieces are not being put in place in order to change that dynamic properly, put it that way.
So the point I'm saying, in the game of politics, just like all other races, blacks should be able to play both sides of the fence, because if the Democrats are the majority, then the Democrats should be there. If the Republicans are the majority, then we should better have some damn Republicans that we represent our interests in there, too, because Asians do it.
I agree.
Doing, everybody do it. So like I said, everybody in Detroit blaming on Snyder. What can he do? Detroit did that shit on his damn self. It wasn't his fault. He just got there, didn't he? He just got there.
Yeah, well, he got there and he basically came up with a, not alone, he came up with a strategy that I believe was funded, fueled by some of the powers that be, including the Koch brothers, in order to make Detroit the case example of what needs to happen to cities, particularly urban cities, across this country. And I'll be honest, until probably 2 weeks ago, he was doing a great job at it. And the only reason it's been kind of pearled the last 2 weeks is because, you know, a lot of his strategical aligned partners have resigned.
But wasn't there a Democratic governor that brought Detroit school system under the emergency manager?
That is very true. If we go back and we look at the history of that, it started with John Engler, who was a Republican, but Jennifer Granholm also appointed an emergency manager, and she was governor for 8 years, and she was a Democrat. Robert Bob. She appointed Robert Bob to the
So all we going is when you look at politics, it's all local and it all depends on what your state legislature has to bring to the table. And if there was a lot of Republican state legislators that were black that represented the school system and the auto industry, it might have been a different ball game. Do you agree to that?
Oh, I definitely agree that if you would have had some other people on the other side of the fence, it would have been a different ballgame, because now you got to strategically align, look at yourself and look at your, are you going to be able to get that person reelected or not? You know, I mean, if you want to keep the majority, you need to make sure that person can get reelected. And that's probably, you know, if you harm their community in such a drastic way, you're probably hurting their chance for reelection, which means you're not going to be in the majority anymore.
Right, and that's the point I'm saying, you see. And that's one of the reasons why I'm Republican. If you want to think Afrocentric, you want to think black power, then why are you aligning yourself up in certain situations where you're never going to get nothing accomplished because you're always going to be in a minority? You're never going to get nothing moved. You're just going to be there just to say you got a job, and your people will be starving and struggling and suffering. Where you can make a difference in the majority because you have a voice with the majority. And who always wins?
Agreed.
The majority. Majority wins, right?
Yeah.
Majority rules. So it does not make sense to send people to minority when the majority rules. You see?
Right.
And that's what's going on. With
on
now, people are not thinking about strategic. They're being lazy-minded. But before I do that, I got people on the line right now. Hey, Danny, you got a question you want to bring before I bring Tandalea in? I got you in, Tandalea.
Hey.
What's going on? How you doing, Miss Nelson?
I'm okay. How you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing all right. I got my girl, Moni.
I've been listening. And you know what? I agree with what you said, Jimmy. If in order for things to change, I think that it should be more black Republicans in the majority. Now, you and I both know that here in Chicago, the line that we always hear is, what makes you be a, why would you be a Republican? You know, like, they're totally against this, they're totally against that. And I tell people, I'm like, if you don't do the research, you wouldn't know exactly what's going on. People are listening to all these pundits about talking points and saying, you know, different things, but most of them are Democrats, Democratic pundits. So, of course, they're not going to shine good light on the Republicans anyway. Now, in order for us to have a majority in the state or in the House, we would have to, we need to get rid of Mike Madigan. That's what we need to do. But you know what I mean? Since this is such a strong Democratic whole state, it is ridiculous. Okay? We would have to literally get rid of the mayor. We'd have to literally get rid of Lisa Madigan. We would literally have to get rid of her father, Mike Madigan. You know, because they have a strong hold on everything. They touch every single race almost here. Almost every race. You know,
right,
yeah, Lisa Madigan has ties to Michigan. I know she does.
Oh,
I have heard
totally,
that name before.
No,
yet.
No, mm-hmm. I totally believe you. I totally believe mm-hmm. you because the way that they have it sold up here, it's hard to even get your name on the ballot. You understand
wow.
what I'm saying? Like, that's the problem. It is hard to get your name on the ballot as a Republican in this state. The Republicans here are such a minority.
But see, it's opposite in Detroit. You see, they control
yeah.
this in Michigan, just like Wisconsin, and just like Indiana. And see, Chicago is one of the fortunate who see even Michigan is blue. Indiana might be red blue. Wisconsin might be, you know, purple, but you know we're straight blue. Right? We see Michigan's purple, Wisconsin's purple, Indiana might be purple.
Mm-hmm.
We're straight blue. See, where. Wayne County is a big county, so it's going to control, you know, make it blue. Just like Indianapolis, all like that's going to make it blue. But we are at, outside, let me see, Ohio will be red. That's a red state. Illinois is a blue state. Everything else is purple. See, but again, Ms. Nelson, it's Republican
mm-hmm.
control. And the problem was what we're talking about now is in Detroit, but Detroit is not is in Wayne County. It has a mayor
okay.
who's the sheriff, running for mayor of Wayne County right now, which is a black county, Inkster, Southfield,
okay.
All the little spots in between, Norfolk. they are all Democrat. And
okay.
Detroit has an emergency manager. It's like Flint. Everybody else, everything is under control of Obama.
So if they have issues or problems when they have that election, the upcoming election, they're going to appoint an emergency manager.
No.
Well,
see,
the point is, let me explain that real quick. If a certain candidate gets in, right, and that would be the
okay.
candidate that turned down the position for emergency manager, as he has admitted now, 2 years ago, if that certain candidate
okay.
gets in, the difference would be you don't have to necessarily now have a, you know, appointed emergency manager when you got an elected one.
Would it be the person that he was possibly supposed to run against would just automatically win that seat by default? He wouldn't be able to do that?
Okay. Well, see, the default option is really, again, that one's a pearl because, again, you have to be able to tie them in directly with any alleged ballot stuffing that went on, either monetarily or by collusion. And trust me, that would be very hard to do. If someone else
okay.
would probably go down,
okay.
Underling would go down before that person went down.
Okay, I get you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's something new to me, like emergency managers, that just sounds funny. Just say you're appointing someone instead of just saying emergency manager. I was just talking earlier what the emergency manager has done. No, I'm just saying, like here in Chicago, like if someone was to be indicted or had to step down or whatever, he's going to appoint somebody. You know, I'm just saying,
no,
emergency manager
has authority like the mayor. There is no mayor.
Yeah.
There is no council. No, see, there is no mayor
okay.
and there is no council. There's one person that's running Detroit. Am I correct, Moni?
Let me correct this a bit for you. There is a mayor, And there is a city council, believe it or not.
Okay, so
but the only problem is they don't have any power. The power has been aligned through the legislation to the emergency manager basically having a majority
so
of the power.
That doesn't even make any sense. So why aren't they just together?
I know.
Like, I've never in my life heard, that's why, see, that's confusing. Because we have a mayor. The mayor runs the city.
Detroit is going third world politics right now. And
that's
people, that's what I'll be doing. I know you're brand new. I got another caller calling in from 11111. Let me bring this person in for 20 minutes. I'm seeing what you got to say. What's going on, Mr. Anonymous? What's happening?
I'm just listening.
Oh, I'll put you back in.
He's just listening.
Okay. No, what's going on in Detroit to me, you know, what's going on in Detroit to me is this, that it's like a third world country. Now, I'm a Republican. I ain't tripping. But the Republican governor has appointed an emergency manager because Detroit is going into trying to prevent Detroit.
So they're eye candy, basically.
And Detroit trying to go in.
I'm just saying. Basically, that is a title then. So you're just a mayor by title, and the city council is city council by title. Because
title.
That is correct.
Hold on, the suburbs here in Chicago, even the suburbs of Chicago have mayors. And their mayors run. They run their mayor. I mean, they run Riverdale.
Detroit messes so much that the state decided, and help me out, Moni, to get an emergency manager in to manage the assets. Now,
that is correct.
Right.
Let me explain this so people understand it.
That just doesn't make any sense to me. I think that if that's the case, why they just didn't have a board, like a
I'm wondering why they had an election
like
anyway, but
more than just one person.
So in other words, for Detroit to get this emergency manager, what they had to do was be pretty much in a state of financial distress. Okay, the governor, right, can declare a city in financial distress based on, pretty much reviewing the books. If they owe more in liabilities than they have in assets, that pretty much makes them possible need for a emergency financial review, okay? The emergency financial review, the governor appoints various people to the board, including the state treasurer, and the state treasurer basically decides, along with these people on the board, if the financial emergency needs to put that particular city or locality under a consent agreement, which is what happened to Detroit. Now, they have to agree to the consent agreement, or else they go into default. If they go into default, pretty much, that means that the state can come in and totally take over. Now, the consent agreement is supposed to avoid the emergency manager. Meanwhile, between time, the city council and the mayor worked with the consent agreement for about 8 months. They were supposed to have basically 12 months to do it. The governor pretty much said, you know what, you're not meeting what we want you to meet. So what we're going to do is just going to put emergency manager in there, and he's just going to fix everything up. So that's pretty much how Detroit got the emergency manager in the first place.
Now, with that being said,
mm-hmm.
have an election coming up in November.
Mm-hmm.
Election coming up, Miss Nelson. Now you got an accusation of ballot stuffing, and someone who is suing the clerk, the county, whatever, saying the election is bogus.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in my opinion, I don't know. In my opinion, that's going to send this case to the Supreme Court, the state. Legislator to the state.
I think it will. I think it'll be just like when Bush and Gore.
Bush and Gore. And so, in my opinion, that just give Governor Snyder, GOP Republican, more control to get the black guy, I can't think of his name right now, who's a Democrat,
Kevin
control
Orr.
Over the
state. Yeah.
Bill, this is resolved. Now, Moni, you can help me out this, Monica. Is anyone talking about this in Detroit, is anyone talking about that the election could not, the outcome of the election can be held up and we will still have an emergency manager. Is that being talked about in the motor?
Okay, because it's two frames. So basically, the once the general election is done and is certified by the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, technically, which is less than 30 days after the election, technically that election can't be held up. Now, the ballot, the issue that is going on with the ballot, that will probably be held up, honestly, until after the election, after the Board of Canvassers certifies the Detroit City election. Then at that point in time, once you have a certified election, it's very hard to remove, again, it's very hard to remove a candidate out of office, even if they questionably got in the first place. You know, I don't see, now, Kevin, what the governor could do is that if there's still controversy, which there will be after the, you know, after the election takes place and if the certain candidate gets in, he could extend the emergency manager's contract for another year.
Yeah, so let me get straight. So now, that being said, hold on for one second. So I'm sorry, I'm on the line. I can't even break the line.
You know what?
But no, I'm sorry. I should be talking about.
I think they're doing entirely too much.
No.
It is a lot.
Is there any anxiety? People with elections. There is nothing that's going to come about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of anxiety. A lot of people feel as if, honestly, make a long story short, and this is why some may not participate, is that since the last election was questionable, that this election, it will be questionable also. And so they may not participate. They may just stay home, which would be a bad thing for, obviously, Benny Napoleon. It would be a good thing for Mike Duggan. So, you know, I mean, it's a lot of defeatism. I'm not going to lie and say that it's not. I mean, it's a lot of defeatism. It's a lot of my vote's not going to count anyway, so why even bother? And because of that, it's hard to tell, you know, if a lot of Detroiters are going to go to the polls on November 5th. You know, and if they don't do that because they think that voting is not valid anyway, let's look at what happened in the primary. Then you have Mike Duggan.
Who's on the ballot? Who's on the ballot besides the mayor or candidates November 5th?
City Council.
Council.
You do have a lot of city. Yeah, there's seven seats. And then two at large. So there, that's, you know, I mean, and the worst part about this is that the city council races have not got a lot of play, maybe more so in the city of Detroit by visiting neighborhood meetings or things. But inside of the media, they haven't got a lot of play at all. So, you know, a lot of people don't really even know that you're also voting for your city council when you vote for the mayor's position too.
Are there any state House seats or state Senate seats up for election?
Mm-hmm. Not now, because it's an odd year. Detroit does their elections on an odd year, so it doesn't correspond with the calendar that would elect the governor
Chicago,
or the state House or the state Senate.
Every 2 years they're running here in Chicago. State Senate 2 years,
yeah.
State rep. State Senate 4 years, state rep 4 years. So this is just a municipal election. Like city clerk, stuff like that. But, you know, all of them Democrats.
Yeah, it's an odd year for Detroit. They're lucky because basically since they do it on the odd year out, and I say the odd year because, like, 2016, if you do the even years, 2016, 2018, 2020, those will be various races for governor, state positions, you know, House, Senate, you know, Secretary of State, whatever. But since Detroit does their elections on uneven years, which is like 2013, they don't never correspond with the same time with the state house they set up.
Right. So now, prediction. What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, I'll tell you what I would like if I had my choice. If I had my choice, I would probably say you need to just do the darn primary over. You know what I'm saying? I'll be honest. They really do, because it's just so much taint in regards to what happened with that primary election that is pathetic. But what I think will happen, sadly, is that I think Mike Duggan will be elected unless the people come out. Unless, and the good thing is maybe, since a lot of things are surrounding this bankruptcy case right now, there was a big protest today down at the federal building. You know, I would probably say, you know, hundreds. When I say hundreds, I'm not talking about one or two. Probably like 800, 900 people showed up to protest, basically the hearing, official hearing starting on the bankruptcy case. Governor Snyder has been caught and will be testifying in the bankruptcy case, which is the first time ever a Michigan sitting governor has testified in federal court about anything. If that can keep going on for the next 3 weeks, you might actually get some people to come out to the polls. You know, you actually may have enough momentum between people's dislike for Rick Snyder that they come out to the polls and Benny Napoleon will be the winner. But if that doesn't happen, then it will be Mike Duggan.
Yo, like, seeing, like, voting is so important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a privilege and not a right, because people did die for us to have this privilege, this right and privilege that we have. And what do you think will prevent people from Detroit? I mean, are Detroit just tired? You
they
think that
tired.
It will be low voter turnout? I mean, the elections are early because, I mean, my primary, Chicago's, is March, and then my election is November. I mean, seeing how it's so close, so quick, and there's so much, so many topics out there. You know, emergency manager, sell off the assets, should we sell our water, should we privatize? The mortgage credit, with all those issues in the motor, all those issues going down right now in the mo, all those issues right there, you don't think that people will come out? Because, I mean, people ain't got no jobs.
It's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell
because you guys think they're discouraged. I mean, people are so beat down and discouraged, and you know, and I say this in the most kind way that I can.
They got a dictator as an emergency manager. That would not, like, you don't think the fever or the temperature of the people is such that they feel that we got to get out here so we won't continue to have this emergency manager? The fever, it has
some people
not...
think the emergency manager is a good thing. You got to think, and I hate to say that, but it's true. Some people think the emergency manager is a good thing. And those folks that think the emergency manager is a good thing will either probably vote for Mike Duggan or they'll stay at home. And then you have the folks that are disconnected. I mean, they just gave up on politics altogether. So because of that, they don't feel as if any of the actions that take place November 5th will affect them, even though it will. And then you have the people who are activists or people that are seriously trying to get back Detroit into any form of what it used to be, probably when Mayor Young and Dennis Archer were there. And so they will come out. And they're going to keep trying to encourage other ones to do it, too. The question is, which side is going to win? And we won't know that until November 5th.
You won't know that until November 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Very important election. And that is only just 2 weeks away. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, exactly 2 weeks away from today. Now, time flew by fast. Let me one last question before I bring these last people in.
Sure.
Now,
yep.
With emergency managers, that people are still excited about emergency managers, and they'd be happy to keep in that, and they're the ones who do not want the city council. Is the emergency manager eager to step down, or do you feel that he loves the power that he has and he does not want to relinquish it?
Kevin Orr, in my opinion, is ready to wash his hands of the city of Detroit. He's hoping that someone gets elected that he can leave at the end of his contract, honestly, and I really do believe that. He has secured enough money going to Jones Day Law Firm out of Washington, D.C., that he will still be paid on the back end even if he leaves his $275,000 a year job being a Detroit emergency manager. Kevin Orr is ready to go. He's hoping that the right person gets elected so he can leave quickly.
Well, that's great. Now, listen, in the last little 4 minutes I got people with feedback, so I didn't bring you in. Hey, Danny, you got a question? Good. Danny, I got a question. Let me bring this into you right here. Now, good. Keep listening, Danny. Everybody keep listening. Let me ask this question. Now, with my little GOP soliloquy that I spit upon you about balancing the scales on both powers, now, I hope, you know, I hit you hard, and I hope I hit home to you, because let me tell you, you seem so articulate, and you seem like an intellectual and one of those very forward-thinking black individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it's a seed that I planted in you so you can tell the rest of these Michiganiers, which I call yourself Michiganiers, you know, that we need power on both sides. You know, the problem in Detroit just can't be a black and white problem. It's a party problem. Because if you need resources coming from Michigan, I mean, resources coming from Lansing, you should have some people in the majority to bring resources home from Lansing. It's the only way Detroit.
That would probably go. I would say, yeah, but I would go farther than that. We need more people that are not affiliated with party that can bring power because of the fact that they're not affiliated with party. So, in other words, you have to get, if you want my vote, you're going to have to earn it. If my vote needs to be the top vote that gets this piece of legislation over the top, you're going to have to do something for me. In other words, quid pro quo if you're going to do that. And to me, the big way that can get done is if we get more independent candidates in office versus maybe party-affiliated candidates. I'm not saying a bad thing for Democrat or Republican. I'm just basically saying that's how I feel.
Perfect world, that'd be so true, but let's be real with it. It's going to come down to only two people. If even independent, when that person get elected, they're going to either caucus with a Democrat or Republican, and then we say independent they are. And so in the perfect world, it's strictly two parties, regardless of the fact. People say they're independent, but when they get there, they join sides. You can't be neutral in the gang. You get there, you're going to join either the Crips or the Bloods, no matter how you go look at it.
Right. I got your point on that. It's just that in a perfect world, I wish that would exist. And I can see where you are saying that. I can definitely see. I mean, it's just, you know, if a person can actually be elected as a moderate Republican in the state of Michigan, and there are some, and be African-American at the same time. Not African-American, moderate Michigani or elected officials, but...
No, I'm going here.
It's
like this. You ain't got to be a moderate Republican elected state of Michigan. All you got to do is be a Republican that care about black issues and then get elected in the state of Michigan and go to the majority.
Yeah.
Because you got to put your party, you got to put your interests at first, at hand. It ain't about the party, it's about your interests. And black folks need to put their interests first instead of party affiliation, because It's only one thing. Listen, Mona, I got 90 seconds. Everybody got too much feedback.
Okay.
Listen, I got your number. I want you to call me back to keep me updated. I see you still listening. Well, I have no, just chime in and tune in anytime. I got New Music Thursday. I got hip hop. I got a group called Son of Thunder, Day After Detroit. I'm broadcasting our live show tomorrow. Check me out. Listen,
okay.
Moni, I need you back live. Let me know what's going on in this election and keep me posted anytime you feel like it. The mic is always yours.
Okay. Sounds
right,
good.
Thank
well, thank you so much, and you have a great day.
Any shout out? In 30 seconds, shout out. Any shout outs? No shout out, Moni. No shout out, Moni. All right, this is Jimmy Underground Radio Network. I got time to lay in Nelson. Her phone with that too much feedback. She got a party going on, and Dan is holding on. I got 111. I got Nate. I got, what's that? Darnell. I got Jonathan. And I got Michael. And I got Pete Carroll holding on. Give a cool name. This is Jimmy Underground Radio. Good night, and may your God be with you, everybody. No music. Just faded out, Ebony.